This very special episode of the Churros y Tácticas podcast, where we're going to preview tonight's bloodbath between Barcelona and Bayern Munich, as well as recap Xavi's first loss as a manager against Real Betis, and just talk about Real Madrid flying high, Atletico progressing, and all the Spanish teams doing their thing, but Barca lagging behind. And that is all brought to you by our sponsors, Manscaped. It's the holiday season and you don't know what to get as a gift or a stocking stuffer? Well, today's sponsor, Manscaped, has the tools to guarantee that you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Manscaped is the leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they have served more than 4 million men worldwide, including Diego and I. We are four of the 8 million balls around the world who use Manscaped stuff. Diego, how you doing, my man? Have you been manscaping today?
I have, as I do every other day, pretty much. It's funny, when I skip a day, I immediately notice I'm just off of my game. We talked about this before, but it's true. Yeah. You don't feel the same. You don't walk out the door with the same strut, with the same stride in your strut. Am I making something up here, King?
I feel like that strut is... Strut for sure. Strut.
All right. And indeed, continue to be very pleased with our sponsors and for helping me feel good, fresh, smooth. And as you said, I hope the Barca boys have been manscaping, because oh boy, do we need some smooth eggs out on the field over in Allianz Arena tonight. Cojones, señor.
Definitely.
Shaved, preferably.
Definitely. So listeners get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code CHURROS. Again, I emphasize CHURROS because I'm used to it, but it's actually only two R's. So code CHURROS, CHURROS, you get 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with code CHURROS. And with that, let's get started. Welcome to the CHURROS y Tácticas podcast. Diego, it's been a while. We're recording this on Wednesday, so we're
Wednesday. It's insane,
right?
It's insane. Yeah. The week is flying by, Kian, and our schedules just seems to be getting more packed as well. You continue to travel the globe to spread the Madrid message, and
the teachings of Florentino. Far and wide.
It was good, I imagine. The Big Apple.
Big Apple was great. A lot of human beings in one place, which is not something I've seen. Other than really Spain, in a long time, I've been to a lot of big cities, but there's something about like New York that's just like, just a lot happening. It's a lot. It's good. It's good for like a day or two. Beyond that, I don't know if I could handle it. But I mean,
where'd you stay?
You know New York, right? So
yeah,
right? You've been there. You lived there.
Lived there for a little bit, long time ago. Those were different times. Dare I say better times? No, better times. Different.
No way. You're living the dream right now, my friend.
Well, where'd you stay?
We stayed right in Times Square. So.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, right in the heat of the action.
Damn, smack in the middle.
Smack right in the middle. We had a good podcast. A lot of cool people turned out. So it was a pleasure to record with them, hang out with them, meet some new faces.
So how's that work? You guys pick a spot, spread the message. People flock like bees to honey, or flies to shit. No. Bees to honey.
Terrible.
And
just awful.
Madridistas we're talking about in the end. No. A little joke. And then you guys start a podcast. So you do a podcast as if it's a regular podcast, but you have an audience, a live audience there. So do they participate while you guys introduce each topic, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty engaging. We do things like Q&A, we do trivia, we do regular polls in the audience. We get show of hands of this, and they chime in, they talk. And then before the podcast, we're having drinks and food. After the podcast, we're having drinks and food. So it's kind of just a big party, really.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And nice. You get to mingle with your listeners and the fans and stuff. So they must be super stoked about this.
100%. Yeah. But you're doing your best to avoid the major talking point.
Well, that was all for today. Let's leave that. Why do you want to get into that? Let's talk about good things. Let's talk about positives. I would like to talk about Real Madrid, because I have been giving you guys a lot of shit. I've been trying to downplay, I guess.
A lot of people were upset with you on Friday.
A lot of people were upset. Surprise, surprise. But I've been trying to downplay, you know, the level, I guess, that Real Madrid is at. But at this point in time, it's kind of hard to continue to do so, given the good results, the positive results. Vinny continue to be good. I mean, yesterday, I think was one of not his best game. I think the midfield continued to carry you through this game, in a game that, quite frankly, as well, I don't know, this is why I want to start with Real Madrid, where I felt Inter until Kroos's goal around the 20-minute mark, a little bit before that, I think, but I felt that Inter was actually more threatening, not giving Courtois a whole lot to do, but they were better in this game in the initial 20 minutes than Real Madrid. And I feel that that goal really changed the tide around, let's say.
You're right. Those first, really up until Kroos' goal, and even I'd say a few minutes after Kroos' goal, Inter were the better team. They were giving us problems with their press. They were pinning us deep. We weren't closing their ball carriers. We were letting Barella and Brozovic pick out these passes that they really shouldn't have been allowed to hit. We didn't put pressure on them. We didn't close passing lanes. We didn't defend well. What really, and it's interesting that you brought up the fact that Inter had a lot of the ball but didn't test Courtois. That kind of was the theme early on, right? Inter were getting into good positions, and then at the end, just as they were about to shoot, you'd see Militao come, Casemiro come, Modric would come and close down or block a shot. And that's what the story was, essentially. And that's also a problem for Inter in general. They're going to get in those spots. They're not going to score many goals. They don't really have a pure goal scorer apart from Dzeko, who, again...
Dzeko and Lautaro Martinez just not up to...
Yeah, so they need just better finishing at this point. That's kind of their issue right now. So, and that we just kind of grew into the game. Second half we were much better, and then the red card happened, and that was that. It was done deal. Top of the group, Inter go second, and it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I think there was a little bit of a blip in the group stages. That was the Sheriff one, of course, but other than that, it's been pretty smooth sailing for Real Madrid. Now this is interesting because you brought up the positive results and stuff, and I would say, like, up until the Athletic game, the game when we beat Athletic, after that game, it felt like it was a really hard game where we may have gotten a little lucky. Athletic were the better team for large stretches of that game. But the last few wins, like, I'm talking about Real Sociedad in Inter, it's not like there's been that many. But the last couple wins have felt more like we'd really deserve that. We played hard. We were good offensively. We had really great individual performances. Things just clicked a little bit better in the last two games. And that's some good momentum heading into a massive game against Atletico this weekend, which I'm very excited to attend. It's going to be difficult. And I joked about this last night. I bet you it's going to be the Cadiz game where we finally start dropping points, because that's just how Real Madrid are. But the stretch, this has been a really good stretch. Good vibes, good wins, good performances. It's pretty good right now.
Yeah, life is sunny over in the nation's capital, and if you're a Los Blancos follower, for sure, because I don't think we should downplay, and that's kind of me demanding to start the pod as well. Mind you, listeners that often criticize me for apparently dismissing talking about Real Madrid, something that I don't agree with. If anything, I love to get my Real Madrid information from my good friend Kian Sobani.
You would make a really good politician. I don't know if you would have ever thought about going into politics, but just your ability to be like, look at me, I'm talking about Real Madrid, take note everybody.
When have I not wanted to talk? I take serious disagreement with this point you're trying to make. I always want to talk about Real Madrid. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer, my friend. You can't deny the fact that Real Madrid's had great results. To back up your point, you know, off the top of my dome, the big win against Atletico, of course, at the Bernabeu, if I'm not mistaken, it was. Then Real Sociedad, games where I was really hoping that we could maybe cut some distance or at least see the league leaders drop some points. It wasn't a case. And at this point, even against Inter, although you guys were already qualified for the knockout stage, I was curious to see how you would fare against... And I don't watch a lot of Serie A, but what from my very little eye test that I get to see from Italian teams duke it out over in Italy, I think the best team, can we call Inter the best team right now in the Serie A? I think we can. So, and I was pleasantly impressed and surprised with Dumfries and Perisic and company dominate Real Madrid, or you know, at least threaten Real Madrid and dominate the ball and possession in those say opening 20 minutes. And we know of the threats of Barella, a midfielder that you and I both very much like, Brozovic as well. But yeah, just to reiterate again the point that we discussed earlier, I guess the firing power is just isn't there. They didn't manage to test Courtois, to my big disappointment, even though Lautaro Martinez and Zeko are, I mean, I don't know if we could call them household name strikers, but, you know, we know of these strikers and of these forwards, rather. And the damage they could potentially do. I feel that Lautaro Martinez is seriously dropped off of kind of that list of strikers or forwards that you want to have in your squad. There was a moment in time where he was heavily linked with Barca as well. Even at that time, I wasn't entirely convinced. But there was so much hype around him that it seemed like he was an inevitable, up and coming star. Decided to stay with Inter, and for me, as and again, this is based on very little. I don't watch a lot of Serie A, to probably not the big surprise of the majority of our listeners. But where is Lautaro Martinez and Zeko? I mean, poor man Zeko. I don't know how old he is. I'm gonna say he's in his mid 30s. He's made his rounds as well. I'm impressed that Inter are still able to be so competitive and do so fare so well in the Serie A, despite having good strikers but not great ones. Okay, good forwards but not great ones.
Well, I don't think anyone expected them to be, you know, this. I mean, they're basically neck and neck with Milan at the top of the table, but right. I don't think anyone expected them to be as good as they are, just given the fact that they lost Conte and Lukaku. Like, it's losing two is such a massive good loss,
point.
Right?
Good point.
But you brought up some interesting points. I mean, Dzeko is 35. He's still serviceable. Right. He's going to be, but he's 35 and he's no longer what he used to be. You know, right. In the last couple of years, I'd say like his last year at Roma there, he dropped off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Lautaro, interesting. I don't like, he's the type of player who, you know, you just mentioned the Barca link. If you put Lautaro in that Barca team, where does he fit? He's not like a winger who's going to take players on like a Fati or a Dembele, or who else do you guys have that can do that?
Not a whole lot. We got Yusuf. Right, we got Abde. Yes, Elias.
So he's not going to necessarily play that role. He's going to have to play off the striker a little bit, play a little more roaming. I suppose you could put him literally as your striker and let him link up and do other things. So in that sense, he would have been an upgrade over a Braithwaite or or a Luke de Jong. He obviously would have given you really good minutes. And, you know, obviously Aguero didn't play for you guys, so he would have started pretty much every game.
Between Memphis and Lautaro as number 9, who would you...
I mean, Memphis to me is still the more exciting and better player. But Memphis kind of, to me, has to play on the left wing almost.
Yeah,
I agree. But again, that becomes complicated with Ansu and stuff. But, you know, having said that, I'd be curious to know, like, what you think Xavi will do tonight. So,
all right. So that's all the Real Madrid chat that we'll get. Good job, Los Blancos.
What's there to say about Real Madrid? What's there to say?
I don't know. Asensio scoring, in all honesty, a great goal. But
it's a gorgeous goal.
Who was it? Was it Di Marco that was, I was going to say mark him, but not marking him? I mean, he had all the time in the world to fire off that shot. I love goals, though, that outside of the box that ricochet against the post, and it just adds drama. So I sense you back on.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. It was good.
He's had a few of those this season. Some great, great shots. And this has been a theme. Nope. If you want to talk about Real Madrid, it's like shots like that. The Cruz goal was from distance. We've had so many shots from distance. The numbers are up from distance. It's been a clear direction from Ancelotti. Like shoot from 40 yards, 30 yards, and just see what happens. Hits the post, you get a rebound, you get some chaos, you get some... I mean, we have good long-distance shooters, but we have Cruz, Modric, and Casemiro that can all shoot from distance. We have Asensio on the field. I joked about it last week, but like, sucks to be Bale right now, who, like, this is what he would love to do. It's just, if a coach told him, hey, just shoot from anywhere. he could start shooting from 50 yards, but yeah, I don't know if he can
golf, Wales, and shoot from long distance in that order.
You put him number three. Madrid four. Madrid after shooting from distance.
Shooting distance. But wait, but this sets up a really great, and you touched upon it, but I want to jump in a little bit more, the derby, the Madrid derby, because Atletico, I think, you know, I had pretty much written them off of progressing. And
I also said they wouldn't progress.
Yeah. And they got the job done in a very uncomfortable game, a very feisty game for that matter, where at halftime they were eliminated. You know, with the news coming from San Siro between Milan and Liverpool, at that point, of course, then the goal coming in as well from San Siro, that sort of changed the tide as well. You could hear the murmurs, by the way, what's the Oporto stadium called?
Dragao?
Yeah. That was super hostile, man. I don't know if this news made international news, but the official Movistar is the number one TV station here, right? The media station, like paid TV for that matter. It's what do you call it in the US? Like satellite is free, or do you pay for satellite TV?
It's you gotta pay for everything these days. You gotta pay to like breathe air.
Okay, well, it's they have all the rights to La Liga and to the Champions League. You pay for it, okay? It's the pay TV. The commentators were sitting in their box. They were during the match. They started to get attacked and assaulted, for that matter. The main commentator had like his scarf snatched from him and everything. You could hear obscenities being thrown their way and just commotion. There was we couldn't see them obviously because all we could see was the game. But there was stuff happening in and around the commentator boxes and in the stadium and in a game that got just super feisty. I love seeing Pepe get show his true side again, and you know, we saw glimpses of Real Madrid Pepe coming out there. And I'm just pleased as punch. I'm super happy Atleti went through, deservedly so. It has to be said. I know that the Oporto coach is feeling disappointed and might have something else to say. But Conceição, if he takes a good hard look at himself, I think he'll just see this as an opportunity lost. Whereas Cholo Simeone will be, you know, grabbing his big, smooth manscaped balls and you know, be walking out of there feeling pretty chuffed and pleased with himself, with his team performance as well. That, like I said, and this for me the reason to bring this up, couldn't have come at a better time to walk into a Madrid derby and hopefully, you know, sort of put their foot down and say, hey, there's still I Liga, you know, there's still some league to play for. And we are the league champions, and you know, take some points away from Real Madrid and make this season interesting for everybody involved.
It'll be a great game. We will have to bring that forward a little bit more to either Friday's show
Let's move on. You want to talk Barca, you want to talk depressive talking points. Okay,
well, we can put it off for a second and just say that Villarreal and have a massive game against Atalanta. Sevilla have a massive game against Red Bull. So it's kind of like they have inverse situations, right? Villarreal have the destiny in their own hands. They draw against Atalanta, they're through. They're 1 point ahead. Sevilla, they have to win. They have to beat Salzburg to advance. A draw will not be enough. So it's a big day. And unfortunately, they all play at the same time. So we just kind of have to choose one or two. Or you can be the freak that has the two screens, the three screens. I imagine that you, Diego, will have your focus on Barcelona versus Bayern.
Well, with one eye on Benfica Kiev, Kian, make no mistake.
That's true. I forget that you don't actually have to. You can actually technically lose and still advance. I don't like that part of this equation.
Well, trust me, with a team that has only scored one goal in this entire Champions League campaign, that team being Kiev, I don't have much hope to them do anything dangerous or cause much damage and wreak havoc in the Estadio da Luz of Benfica. So,
especially with Benfica's season on the line, they're going to come out guns blazing. I mean, I just assume, right? You have to assume if you're a Barca fan anyway. You can't, if you're a Barca, you have to assume that you have to win, right?
You got
to
win. I mean, I think everybody's approaching it from that perspective, and it's the only way. If we're going to rely, like I said, on a team that has only merely scored one goal, that is already, you know, cannot qualify neither for the Europa League anymore. It's like, it's out. It's done for them. You know, we've got nothing here but hope in ourselves and hope that Bayern, without Goretzka, without Kimmich, without, I'm drawing blanks, but several key... Gnabry, thank you, missing as well, and one or two more. You have to hope that they will come out a little bit more relaxed. Müller and Lewandowski will be playing. There will be starters. Nagelsmann confirmed. So, you know, you got your top leaders of that team, top goal scorer in Lewandowski, of course, making their performance making their starts for their teams. You have, who was it? I think it was Rummenigge. That said, that he was so upset with the controversy of Leo Messi winning the Ballon d'Or instead of Lewandowski, that he said, we have a point to prove tonight. We must, you know, avenge this travesty, this mockery of an award show by beating Barca and pummeling to the ground. I don't know what issue he has with us. You know, Messi's not with us anymore.
You just happen to be the next in line, and it just so happens to be Messi's old team.
he's pissed. This guy's pissed. So he wants to make amends, and he wants to pummel us, like he said, to the ground. Let's hope that the players are feeling a little bit more, a little less hostile and a little bit more relaxed, maybe a little bit more focused on their big game against Dortmund over the weekend. On the weekend, they're going to qualify first, regardless. It's -4 degrees over Munich, so maybe some of them will catch a cold or just not be totally in the mood to play. Whereas our boys, I expect them to be as fired up and as amped up and as motivated as ever, because this, make no mistake, is an absolute final from beginning to end, whether it's from a sporting or financial perspective or prestige. Barca cannot be knocked out in the group stage. It's you're missing out on roughly a little bit below the 20 million mark for advancing. You're not in the elite European competition anymore. And, obviously the season goes on. So if we'll see tomorrow, we'll see in a few hours from now what the end result will be. But whatever the end result will be tonight, the primary objective has to be, I think it's Sunday, Osasuna. I mean, you know, so there's no time to sulk neither or to rejoice for too long for that matter, because, you know, the season isn't stopping and we still have very clear objectives lined up in front of us. I say this now like this because it's the truth, but I tell you what, man, not advancing to the next round will be just an incredible punch in the gut, and I'm not looking forward to doing tonight's show. I don't know if any of our viewers are signed up to the Barca TV Plus platform, but you know, tonight's show, the Barca Live Match Center, will be an awkward one.
There's always like one or two clips that circulate on Twitter on social media, like check out how, like, you know, I always feel bad. It's like the Barca TV comms.
Because we're the only ones that are doing it, man.
Yeah, they're just like trying to navigate like an awkward loss, and it's like, you know. So for your sake, I hope that you know, you guys don't get destroyed too much. I had a question for you with starting lineups and stuff.
Yeah.
Dembele has played well off the bench. Do you think he starts tonight finally?
100%. 100%. Okay. Xavi has repeatedly said he is 100% healthy, match fit, ready to go. He hasn't confirmed that he'll be a guaranteed starter, but who else, you know, you gotta put Dembele. You have to put Dembele. We saw it against Benfica, Betis again, just his presence and impact on the game alone. He's, when he's out there, he's our best player. I'll go so far as to say that right now, with all respects to, you know, good Frankie and a continued surprising Gabi, but, you know, Dembele is the player that we all need out there at this point in time. So I expect Dembele, Memphis, and I would say Gabi to be our front three.
So does that, do you think you go with four at the back then, with Dest at right back, or will you do three at the back?
I don't know if we will do three in the back. Xavi has changed up his system so far. Given the urgency, I wouldn't be completely surprised if and his willingness, you know, his, or more than his willingness, his emphasis on playing in the opponent's half, dominate possession, you know, defend by having possession of the ball, pushing our opponents as far back away from our goal as possible, having Lewandowski, you know, not be a threat around our perimeter and the 18-yard box. And I don't know. I think the system is in that sense, less of a concern of mine as it is, as the attitude is, and the intensity of this match. You know, whether we play with Dest and Jordi Alba, who I think will be match fit, and I say I think because he did receive a knock in the Betis game, and there was talks of him having some molestias, molestias are like not injury, but he's a bit bothered and a bit knocked up.
Discomfort.
In which case, yeah. Discomfort. Thank you. In which case, you know, we saw Balde also again continue to train with the first team, and him being healthy and being to Xavi's liking, I would have full faith in another youngster coming out there, and hopefully, you know, match if not match overcome and the intensity of the Bayern players. We'll see. Well, what are your expectations of this match?
Like, I'll just throw in a bunch of scattered thoughts. My feeling is that if I'm Barca, I felt, and I haven't talked to you about the Betis game really, so I don't know how you felt about that. My feeling was that, you know, yeah, Xavi finally lost. I actually feel Barca were incredibly unlucky not to win that game.
I agree.
I'm not saying that Betis came didn't deserve to win. You know, I think they did what they could. They capitalized on that, on the chance, on the high line, on the counterattack in the second half, which is how a lot of teams do score against Barca. At the same time, you guys, the pressing looked pretty good to me. A lot of sustained pressure, a lot of chances. You had a massive chance at the end. Who was it? Was it Abde who had that chance? I can't remember. Was it? So I feel like 9 times out of 10, you guys are going to win that game. Just a little bit of bad luck. So whether that...
They had a big chance, yeah.
Yeah, so whether they lose momentum from that heading into this game, I'm not sure. But just from a pure process standpoint, not a result standpoint, if I'm Barca, I'm looking at this and like, I think I've noticed more organization, slightly more structure than under Koeman. I'm feeling still pretty good. I'm heading into a very difficult game with, you know, the season on the line, Champions League season on the line. You have a better morale than you did maybe like 2 weeks ago. And, you know, you have to rise to the occasion. At the same time, I'm thinking like, even if they do rise to the occasion, and even if Bayern don't really care about this game, which is doesn't seem to be true anymore because Lewandowski came second in the Ballon d'Or thing, Bayern are so good, and they're so good, and I think that's the issue. You know, this is obviously, if you're playing your last game against Benfica, this is a different story, and Benfica are good, but Bayern are so good, and I think that's where, like, even as a Real Madrid fan, whether it's trying to jinx or trying to, like, you know, poke fun at this, or like just, or at least even be pessimistic to keep the expectations low, Bayern are so good, and I certainly wouldn't want to face them with the season on the line. And in fact, I hate facing Bayern any time in history when the season is on the line, because it's always a lot of pain and suffering, and a lot of victories too, but it's a lot of suffering along the way. So it does not seem like a fun game. And either way, I think you guys are going to be a nervous wreck watching this game. Against a team that has, let's be honest, the other side of the coin is that, yeah, Bayern progress, but they also are playing with zero pressure. Like, it'll be training for them. So they won't be desperate. You know, they won't be pushing players up the field, leaving space in behind. They'll just be fine. They'll just be kicking it around. And that'll be tough.
But, you know, by the way,
yeah,
real quick, I keep reiterating the fact that Bayern might have one eye set on their next match against Dortmund.
Yes.
I'm being a fucking dumbass.
Yes, you were.
Here I was thinking
I was
that
too,
play
though,
them
because
twice.
I didn't say anything.
But they just come off the back of defeating Dortmund 3-2 in a great game where Haaland scored a bunch of goals. And I kept thinking, oh, but they're going to play them again in like a German Cup or something. And now I'm actually looking at the schedule. They're playing Mainz, where I don't know where they are in the league standings, but I'm going to guess that they're not, they're seventh. All right, so Bayern are just they come off the back of a tough match, but they can pretty much settle back into fifth or fourth gear after tonight. So they're good.
Well, the Bayern do play against Borussia Dortmund on April 23rd, 2022. Maybe they're maybe if you get lucky, they have their eye on that.
Oh, I like it, Kian. I like it. I'm going to mention that on the show tonight.
Guys,
yeah. Guys, Bayern are playing.
Oh, boy.
Okay, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm so big.
What are the odds here? Where are you putting your percentages? What are you giving us?
Is 50 generous?
Don't hold back. That's generous. That is generous.
I only give that crazy number because maybe Kiev can do something.
So you're not trusting Barca to win. It's a draw or a loss for us, but you're thinking that Kiev will put us through. Even though Kiev has only scored one goal in five matches and are out of everything.
You never
they're
know.
Just gonna, they're just going to show up and wreak havoc. And be like, fuck these guys. They just don't like Portuguese people and they're going to go for it. it's a well-known fact that Ukrainians don't like the Portuguese. Everybody knows that. It's like oil and vinegar. It's like Dutch and Germans. It's like Madridistas and culés. It's... Give me a break, man.
You never
man.
Know, man. You never
Don't give
know.
Me this false hope. Say it like it is. Don't give me 50% when you're not even buying it yourself.
Okay, so no. Here's what I'll say. One sec, I'm just looking. Okay, so I don't think Barca will beat Bayern. I think a draw is the best case scenario for them. And I think that means that Kiev, they don't even have to beat Benfica in that situation. All they have to do is draw against Benfica in that situation. That's not off the table to me.
So two draws.
Two draws, which you guys would be more than okay with, I'm sure.
100%.
Yeah. Right now, in case you're interested, so 538, because 538, the ESPN website, they have, they do a lot of projections and based on stats and analytics and different formulas and algorithms. They currently have Barca progressing to the round of 16 at 41%. And Benfica at 59%. So they're giving Benfica the odds today.
Yeah.
And in case if anyone else is interested for the other Spanish teams, 36% for Sevilla, 52% for Villarreal, which is about right to me as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, look, 41%, it's not terrible odds.
I'll tell you why it's terrible odds, because they're not bad odds, but I'll tell you why I think the odds are worse. I don't know if these factor in the fact that we've never won in the Allianz Arena. We've never beaten Bayern on their own ground. I think we played them five times, it's two losses and three draws. This will be the first time that we beat them. Can you imagine that this Barca, one of the worst Barcas in history, would actually come up so big that we would beat the German Giants for the very first time away, mind you. Not obviously at the Camp Nou, but away, the first time that we would be beating them at the Allianz Arena. That already in and of itself is a mind boggle for me, this one. How we would pull this one. How do you pull that rabbit out of the hat? I don't know.
Look, I don't know.
And it's got to come down. And the mere fact that Bayern are so comfortable in the group, obviously, and that they are playing Dortmund in April of 2022 and they can rest some players up that there's snow on the pitch, and you know, maybe they're just gonna take their foot off the gas a little bit because the urgency is not there. That's really our only hope. And we've got good players, but you know, it's clear that right now we're this is Xavi's. He's still, what is it, in week three since he arrived? He hasn't even spent a month here yet. So we're still in this sort of like preseason phase, if you will, where he has to come up so big. And even though you said the morale has changed, and it definitely has, we can confirm that, you know, just from the trainings alone, which are, you know, the mood, the sense you get are is infectious, is contagious. Just the excitement and kind of the joy that is, yeah, being lived in a Barca dressing room after some very depressing previous months under the previous staff. But
yeah,
you know, is that alone going to be enough at this point when we're still trying to figure out the movements, the tactics, and the formations, and understand exactly what it is that new coach Xavi Hernandez wants from his players? Is that going to be enough alone? Just moment, or yeah, momentum, not even, because we're coming off the back of a loss. So, but just momentum in terms of mood and morale, you know, that's where I draw my big doubts and have my question marks, Kian. I don't know if we're going to... No lo sé. No lo sé.
We'll see. We'll see. Hey, who knows? Maybe this will be a historic night, and maybe it'll be something to, like, you know, here's what, not exactly the same example, but remember after Spain lost to Italy in the Euros and everyone came away like, hey man, do we have something here? You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a situation like that. Maybe you'll be very proud by the end of the day. And who cares? You care for financial reasons to progress, but I mean, do we really care from a footballing standpoint, if you lose now or next round? You know, focus should probably get on getting back into the league title race.
Well, I care because it's also going to ruin my work weeks. I will have to work more weekends if we play the Europa League. But that aside, no, I do hope that we walk away with a sense of, okay, you know, we've got something great to build on here. And and that's why I said at the beginning when we started this discussion that our focus after the game, our primary focus, has to be the next game, because the season doesn't stop. We're still, what is it, seventh in the league with 13 something points away from the league leaders, and we want to finish in the Champions League spots, which is not a given or a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination. So we just can't throw the towel in and say this is it. You know, so that's, I guess, the message that I want Kulis to take away, is that, hey, the next, you know, the season's not stopping and the next game is just around the corner, and we got to continue to fight.
Well, let's see what happens, my friend. I think we should wrap it here because people need time to listen to it before the game tonight.
Yeah.
And also, let's see how this discussion holds up on the Friday show. And we do have some patron questions we've already saved for the Friday show, patreon.com/churrositactica. So if you want access professor, to that.
Yes, our teacher, Oscar, I believe his name was.
Alberto.
Alberto.
Alberto Collado Gray.
We, due to this, all the content we had for this podcast, we deemed it more appropriate to push your questions further to the next podcast. And also for our listeners, we're in the process, as you will probably have noticed, of transitioning, or say widening our reach. And we made the podcast available on SoundCloud and other platforms. What we didn't realize was that was going to cause some problems with SoundCloud and our regular places where you would hear the show, Apple Podcast. So we're fixing that, and hopefully it should be fixed by the time that this will go up.
Also, just a couple more previews for Friday. There's a couple more questions that we're saving, one from our boy Taps, and there's another one, which it's not quite Modric versus, you don't know about this, it's not quite Modric versus Xavi, but it's a much more lower level. It's Sergi Roberto versus Lucas Vazquez that they want us to throw the gloves off for on Friday as well. So we can spend some time on that.
Oh boy. All right.
All right. So, and also Alberto's question, one of his questions that he's asking us on Friday is super not controversial. It's who is the greatest footballer of all time. So I'm sure that'll go really well with us too. All right, Diego, thank you, man.
The GOAT debate. The GOAT debate part 6, 7.
Part 8, 9, 10. Yeah, it's never ending. All right, good luck tonight, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll chat Friday over on patreon.com/churrosetacticas. And follow us on Twitter at churrosetacticas without the Y. Take care. Peace out, my friend.
Peace.